Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two, Tinky and Tierney company from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. All right, let's get back to the story that keeps giving us stories. That would be baseball's woeful mishandling of the Astros' digital cheating scandal.
This thing won't go away,
it's
man.
It's not going away because the commissioner's making dumber decisions every single day. He has woefully failed the sport.
Agreed.
I'm past that. I don't even want to hear about stop talking. It's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal with Roger, with Rob Manfred. All right, so you look at the responsibility of any commissioner, and you went through this as a player. Your goal is to grow the game. Your goal, quite literally, is to grow the game.
You're right.
You want to negotiate the marketing aspect, the digital and TV stuff. You want to handle, you certainly serve as a liaison to the labor negotiations with the players' union,
mm-hmm.
try to keep peace. And every commissioner, whether it's, you know, Mountain Landis with the Black Sox scandal in the 1920s when he was handling that, who was baseball's first commissioner, by the way, Bowie Kuhn with street drugs, or Bud Selig with HGH and steroids. Every commissioner has said something across their desk that has threatened the sacred nature of the sport, at least the way it's perceived, and the direction and growth of the sport. The key is to handle it the right way.
Yeah.
We're a pretty forgiving society. But now we're at the point, I don't ever want to hear Rob Manfred speak again. And I got to tell you.
Wow.
And I've thought about this a lot, and I didn't even know if I would bring myself to say this, but he has so woefully failed the owners, all the other teams outside of the Astros, mm-hmm. the bridge of trust he has taken, he has lit that on fire. It has been burned to ashes. Nobody trusts him. The more he speaks, now he's denigrating one of the most hallowed trophies in all the sports. Tiki, I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it right now. Rob Manfred should step down. Rob Manfred should step down.
Do you think he will?
That I can't answer.
I mean, it's one thing, and let me take a sidestep, because we mentioned this briefly yesterday when LeBron James took to Twitter and called out Commissioner Manfred. Not by name, but just by commissioner, and you need to fix this for the sake of sport. Not your sport, but for the sake of sport. And, you know, we all knew this, but we didn't. Like, you don't put it top of mind. It was more about the Astros cheating. But when LeBron says it loudly, if someone stole or cheated their way to a championship, it really galvanizes that the Astros also won a championship. Like, they cheated and then won the World Series. And Commissioner Manfred is trying to position it as, oh, that piece of 10. I mean, come on, right? And so I think having LeBron step into it really made it ring louder, at least in my mind, that this wasn't just about cheating, which is egregious, just like steroids and any other scandal that's rocked the Black Sox, et cetera, Pete Rose, just like any of those other things that have rocked baseball. It wasn't just about that. It was about that. Plus, you won a championship, which, like, I know it's a big part of this, but it should be the biggest part of this.
Mm-hmm.
How can cheaters get away with winning the ultimate title?
Very easily.
And nothing be done about
be
it.
Be lucky enough to have Rob Manfred as the commissioner. There's the answer.
Yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's it. If he's the commissioner, nothing happens. Do whatever you want.
And that's what it feels like. I know that, and we had this conversation yesterday, BT, and I think we'll probably keep having this because it's so frustrating. Players speak out every single day. Players are going to get asked every day of spring training about this issue, especially once the games start getting played. And I know we heard Giancarlo Stanton, he of the New York Yankees now, but he said back in Miami, if we would have had this cheating scandal, that year he hit, what,
59?
He's like, if we had had that cheating scandal, I would have hit 80 home runs.
I believe him, too.
And he's probably right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know what pitches to lay off of. You know when that high heat's coming. He then was turning on it. So, I mean, I wonder if the noise gets so loud that he has to step down. I don't know if the Major League Baseball team owners will put enough pressure on him, or if they feel that they have the right – or the need to put pressure on him to step down. But it's getting to that point where this gets louder every day. Usually these stories are, you know, a week, 2 weeks, maybe, you know, at max a month. This thing feels like it's going to go on forever because it's just as loud now as it was a week ago
it's
or 2 weeks
louder.
Ago.
No, it's getting louder.
I think you're right.
It's becoming more visceral now. We were confused.
Mm-hmm.
We were perplexed by the, and I'm not even sure initially everybody really believed the depth of the cheating. But then as we read, as we mm-hmm. learned, wow, this was pretty,
yeah.
I mean, this permeated deep into the, okay. So now you've had months to sit on this, and we were promised the most detailed, impactful investigation that they can possibly summon.
Yep.
Still waiting on the Red Sox, which I've talked about now for a couple days, because it's a great disservice to the sport. I don't need to say it again, but mm-hmm. the fact that they weren't jointly punished, it just drags on.
Yep.
Every time this, I don't know, Rob, we had Rob on the show once. This is not personal. This is protecting a sport I've loved since I was four. Before I loved anything else in life, I loved, outside of my parents, I loved baseball. And you have the commissioner now getting in front of a microphone. This guy's brilliant. He went to Cornell. He's a smart man. How do you not have an ounce of street smarts? How the hell do you get in front of a microphone and call one of the most cherished trophies in sport a piece of tin?
Yeah.
Because what you're doing now is marginalizing the efforts it takes to win it, which tells me, and tells the players more importantly, he doesn't give a rat's ass about the effort. That's why Turner's so unhappy about this. This is why the anger is now, it went from wow to whoa.
Yeah.
To now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Now, like from everybody.
Look, I was pissed.
This is unacceptable.
It's funny because I was pissed a while back, mostly at the players, the Astros players, because of how I felt cheated at the clutchness that they displayed. Now, I know some guys like, yeah, I only got 22 bangs in the season. I only did this or that and the other thing. I didn't partake in it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Blah, 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 blah. But the fact that they won a championship being sorry that they were cheating doesn't take away your ire. Now, back to Commissioner Manfred. He addressed his, not thought out at all in the biggest moment of your career statement that the trophy was a piece of tin.
I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. I will say this, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
Clearly you don't understand what it means.
Oh,
because what?
Gosh.
This isn't like...
Who's advising you?
I mean, I don't know. And whoever is, she needs to be fired, or he needs to be fired.
Rob, for
advising himself.
I'll do it for you.
But think about this, BT.
Come on.
When he handed down this punishment, right? Like, when something like this occurs in any sport, you have to think about what the reaction's going to be. You have to. And have whatever statement you're going to say prepared so that when you get put on the spot, you say the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he handed down the punishment. And I keep saying this because it feels like this is exactly what he did. He handed down this punishment and then was so busy patting himself, or at least looking for his back to pat himself on, that he stopped looking what was happening in front of him, which was confusion, as you mentioned, anger, like ire, discontent, like all of this other stuff. And so all of a sudden he can't find his back to pat anymore. No one's doing it for him because they realize he screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's just a piece of tin. I mean, they're going to be shamed. They lost respect. That's their punishment. Like, who
Do
says
you
that?
If Gary Bettman called the Stanley Cup a piece of tin?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine? Now, that's
You're
the
right.
best trophy. Now, we're not even huge hockey fans. That's the best trophy in sport. Can you imagine?
I agreed.
I mean, they would cancel games.
Or denigrate Vince Lombardi in the National Football League.
Yeah, right.
Right? The winner of the first 2 Super Bowls. Ah, it's just a piece of tin. You know, Rob, it doesn't matter. These guys don't care. The effort didn't matter. I mean, they won it. It is what it is. We know.
He's turning. I'm at my wit's end with this. I really am.
Do you think it actually leads to him?
To
his job being
that,
in jeopardy.
Number one,
do you think it actually leads to that? Because people are seriously upset.
Mm-hmm.
Players. are seriously upset.
The players will never trust him again for anything. So before I answer that, you have to consider these two
and
factors.
He hasn't really apologized.
No.
Like, even in that statement he just gave, I made my only mistake. I made one mistake. No, you didn't, dude.
Nah, pretty much from the get-go, buddy. You swung and missed. The players will never trust him again. The owner should never trust him again. So with that bridge that connects both sides of the table, you know, hanging by a thread, and for the players' mm-hmm. point of view, burned and incinerated to the ground, it's a bed of ashes. My answer is yes, okay? And if you still, let me put the actual cheating in a different light to crystallize it for those who still don't think it's that big of a deal, which, by the way, is a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine playing and being able to widen the circumference of the rim. Only when you shot. You know Chuck E. Cheese's, they go side to side.
Yeah.
Imagine you can, whether you hit a button, whatever you do, I'm lining up there. Imagine if you have a 20-foot putt for the Masters, and Tiger's got the regular size hole, and everybody else does, and your hole is the size of a basketball. I mean, that's the degree of cheating that went down. Rod Manfred is lost. Rob Manfred is unapologetic. Rob Manfred is showing no signs of getting this anytime soon from a PR point of view, from a competitive point of view. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
The guy should resign.
The guy should resign. But I wonder why he's not getting it. Like, is he not listening? Here's the thing. If I back up like to my beginning of sports in New York, like in 1997, there was a lot of noise about everything, right? But it was, you know, certain journalists who would be heard loudly, and it was one point of view,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and you could
pretty much one side. Yeah,
and you could disagree with it and have, you know, like, reason to disagree with it, because that's one point of view that gets really loud. The rest of the points of views aren't heard anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 20 years now, 23 years now. It's 2020 right now. You hear one point of view. And you hear another one equally loud. Then you hear a third and a fourth and a fifth and across the board, because the platforms are available for everybody's point of view to be heard, right? And so when you're hearing these and you're the subject of them and they're all in consensus, how do you ignore it, right? I'm asking the question why Rob Manfred doesn't feel like he did something wrong when everyone who's opining about this is saying, you did this wrong. It's like, what are you listening to? Or who are you listening to? Or are you not listening at all? And I think that's the biggest problem. Because sports, as we all know, it's a give and take, right? It's obviously the product that's being produced on the field, and the fans are going to give their opinions about it, and some of them are off the wall. But when consensus says the same thing from fans, from players, from media, from entertainers like us, like when it's everybody saying the same thing, how are you not listening to it?
I don't know.
It's weird.
Unless you are listening to it and you're trying to abruptly shift the narrative.
But it's not going
to
change.
But you're just woefully banned in front of a microphone.
But he can't shift the narrative.
I'm not defending him. Nobody's
listening to him.
But if he was smoother, if he was better verbally, all right, if he had more polish, if he was David Stern,
mm-hmm.
may Commissioner Stern rest in peace. David Stern can take a misstep, not that he had many, he was a great commissioner,
yeah.
but yeah, everybody has had a few. But he could then turn that and own the podium, own the stage, and reroute the narrative. Rob Manfred keeps digging in the batter's box, and the foot gets deeper and deeper into the dirt, but he's nowhere closer to a strike.
Yeah, and he won't acknowledge that he screwed this up. And at the end of the day, look, Barry Bonds may have cheated to hit 700 and whatever. I don't even know the number anymore.
I forgot myself, to be honest.
I think 757, 757. Whatever. He cheated to win 750 home runs. He cheated himself in a place in the record book, which a lot of people stick an asterisk by.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros cheated to win a World Series,
mm-hmm.
right? That is significant.
Yeah.
It forever taints it. And there was a speculation put out about
what, the censorship?
The censorship. Like, there's one thing that Rob Manfred could do is censor the Houston Astros, which basically acknowledges that this particular World Series was tainted and exists on the record books. It's not going to change anything, but I wonder if that changes people's ire. If something is done, it's not a pound of flesh, but maybe it's a few ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Because Currently, it feels like nothing was done. Yeah, A.J. Hinch lost his job and Jeff Luna lost his job. But, I mean, those guys are making good money. They're fine. They're going to get jobs doing something else at some point. We'll forget about them because it ultimately wasn't about them. It was about the players. And now the screw-up that Commissioner Manfred continues to perpetuate. So it's not going to be about those guys. It's going to be about the ones that are still playing that we have all this, like, animosity towards. And he's doing nothing to change it.
Nothing.
Nothing to change it.
Listen to this quote from Nick Markakis. He was asked how he felt. Yeah. It's anger. I feel like, first of all, I give him so much respect for putting his name next to this. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. Listen to those words. This is a peer. This is a guy who's been around a long time with the Orioles, good player, revived his career, even if he was a bad player, but he's a respected veteran. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. That's a quote. And other guys just might not be, you know, brazen enough to quite put their name to it.
Yep.
And this guy sounds like he's probably a fifth-tip black belt, if you're confident enough to say that. I mean, you'd probably be able to handle yourself.
But trust me, guys feel the same way.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Manfred is woefully failing every single player. Every player. And it's unacceptable. Now, if he threw his hands up and he begged for mercy in the court of public opinion, I would take back what I said about the resignation that I'm calling for.
But he won't acknowledge that he deserves that.
But he keeps digging in. If he just said, man, I didn't know it was this deep. I messed up. I'm sorry. I tried to do the right thing. I woefully swung and missed. My objective now is to be better. I'd say, you know what? It's a man. He's mortal. He made a mistake. We'll give you a second chance. I can't get this nonsense a second chance. Every single night, it's like a bad comedy act out there with a microphone.
It's true.
It's a joke. 855-212-4227. So, do you want to see him resign? I'm going to ask you. Get some calls on this. 1-855-212-4227. And maybe even more specific than that, what would make you feel okay with moving forward with Rob Manfred still as the commissioner? Tiki brought something up that's pretty interesting, the censorship. Would that do it for you? 1-855-212-4CBS. It's not going away. It's getting worse. Trust me, we'd like to move on. But the commissioner is not allowing us to do that. He's been a colossal disaster.
It's O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Plus, earn double O'Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Head to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store to sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. Also, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So stop in today or visit online and rack up double O'Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
All right, your calls are coming up here. Manfred, Commish, baseball, mess. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at GEICO.com. Easy. Listen, you are as immersed in this as we are. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Phones are lit. Let's start getting some reaction. Get the calls here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let's start in Idaho, and Ben checks in now. First up on Tiki and Tierney. Ben, what do you think about this, buddy? Go ahead.
Yeah, here's the thing that's interesting that I was thinking about. When this initially came out, everybody kind of sided with Manfred. I can even remember when I listened to your guys' show the first day, you guys were both like, well done.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
No doubt. But, I was wrong.
But you started thinking about it and you realized, you know what? Nothing happened to these players. And they're kind of, especially the owner, kind of smug about it.
You're right. It's like they made it worse. If they had just said nothing, they probably would be better off in our minds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. At least admitted that, you know what? We did cheat. But see, here's the thing. We've caught up now to Manfred, and everybody's mad about it. It's almost like, have you guys ever seen the show Other Guys?
No, I don't know. I got to check it out.
What Netflix? What is it on?
Yeah, it's one with Will Ferrell where the cops. Anyways, this guy fools them. He bribes them. They show up to a game, and they're at the game watching a basketball game because, you know, they're mad at him. They're going to bust him. He sends them to the game. At the game, they look at each other and like, wait a second. He just bribed us, you know? So they're pissed because he fooled them. That's what, you know, happened at first.
Yeah.
All of us were like, yeah, he really got him, you know? He fined him for the match. He took away first and second round draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
He did all, and then all of a sudden we realized, you know what? That guy didn't really do anything.
It's a good analogy. I like it, Ben. Nicely done on that.
I
got to
check that out. Other that guys. Good. I got to find that one.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't either.
Brady is in Windsor, Ontario. Brady, Tiki, and Tierney. Go ahead. What do you think?
Thank you, Tiki and Tierney. Well, no, Manfred must either resign or be removed because and the way he's handled this whole situation, mm-hmm. and plus calling the commissioner's trophy a piece of metal. I mean, he's a bigger joke than Buddy Boy Selig, whose incompetence in handling the lockout cost the baseball the World Series in 1995. And he should have immediately rescinded the Astros' 2017 World Series. And since he didn't, and since every time he speaks, he puts his foot in his farther and farther in his mouth,
yeah.
I can't see how he can stay. Plus, this whole thing has the effect of perhaps making people question the legitimacy of the competition.
Yeah.
And when competition in sports is delegitimized, well, you have professional wrestling, and, you know, if you want to watch that, fine, I have. But, no, I think Manfred must leave by one way or another. Thanks for putting me on, boys.
You got it.
Appreciate you, Brady.
Call, Brady.
I think you hit on something good there, Brady. People just don't have respect right now.
No.
And the only
respect or belief. Trust.
Agreed. And the only way it's coming back is if he acknowledges that he made a horrendous mistake.
Yeah.
You know? And that's all you got to do in today's society is apologize.
Yeah.
And say,
he didn't kill somebody.
No.
He didn't rape somebody. He messed up.
Say I tried. And I realize now that I messed up.
Yeah.
Because the outcry should be telling you messed up.
Yeah. I don't know why
I'm trying
it's
to think,
so
has,
elusive for
has
him.
There been a confirming voice other than the Astros? Has there been one that said, yeah, he, you know, leave Commissioner Manfred. Has there been one of those?
Somebody that's defended Manfred? Well, I got to be honest. Billy Ripken defended him a little bit yesterday on our show.
True, he did.
I was a little surprised Billy's position.
Well, Billy's position was basically that because he couldn't, you know, discipline the players, he did it the right way. But it was based on the proposition that he set it up 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he said 3 years ago when they were doing the eye watches and the digital watches from the outfield to the guys in the dugout, that if you get caught doing those things, the ownership and the general manager and the skip are going to be penalized, but you guys won't. And so I think Billy, by the letter of the law that mm-hmm. he had, is saying he did a decent job. But when you really look at it in totality and the fact that as commissioner, you can do what you want and let the PA fight you on it.
Yeah.
He woefully missed.
Speaking of the PA, though, Tony Clark, who's the BPA president, refutes the narrative about immunity. This is interesting. Go ahead.
We believe that the rules that were in place, independent of that, meant that
right.
players weren't going to be disciplined. As a matter of fact, the language suggests that only club and club personnel can be disciplined mm-hmm. for whatever it is that a player may have done. So that's how the conversation started. So the bit about immunity, I know it's gotten a lot of play, but the conversation began with a position that players couldn't be disciplined, which was then followed up with the first call that was had, suggesting that players, there was no intention to discipline players.
All right, so mm-hmm. that's coming from Tony Clark. Let's get back to it. Virginia, Tiki's home state. Rasheen is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Rasheen? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine, guys. As a Yankees fan, I'm wondering how we're beating the brakes off the Astros at home. And then when we get at Houston, we can't hit anything. And I'm over here cussing at my TV screen because we can't get to the World Series, but they're cheating. And this is the thing with Manfred. He has one saving grace with this narrative. Everybody's paying attention to it right before spring training, so it's getting a lot of attention. But this is the other thing, and this is why he's going to resign. He's going to have to end up protecting these guys when everybody comes at their head when they start playing during the regular season. It's almost like when a referee playing wrestling a basketball game and he doesn't get control of the players and everything goes out of control, that's what's going to happen. So now what he's going to do, he's going to levy heavy suspensions for everybody that comes after the Houston Astros instead of...
By the way, I don't believe that he said that, and I know why you bring that up, Rasheen. I don't think that he will actually be able to do that. And I think if he tries, that'll be the final nail in his commissionership coffin.
It'll be a mutiny.
There's no way he could do that.
Yeah, you can't suspend guys for self-policing without penalizing the guys that cheated to win a World Series.
It's as inequitable as it gets. And also, you can't even determine intent.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
He really did one come under something. Thanks for the call, Rasheen. Did it come under Bregman's chin because one got away or because he's Bregman and he's on the Astros? I mean, good luck trying to determine that. That's like a ball of yarn that never ends. I don't know. Listen, nobody trusts him. His public rating right now has to be as low as any. Like, even Antonio Brown has legions of supporters who believe in him. I know it's totally different crime in the sporting sin. You know what I mean? But this is uniquely unanimous. Mm-hmm. You really don't see that too much nowadays. There's usually a split, not always 50-50. But it's very rarely 95% to 5%.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
You know, and Sam just telling me, well, Goodell was hated for years, but Goodell was hated because like little things, like you're suspending players for smoking weed, and you're basically taking their careers. Josh Gordon, like the punitive nature of his decision making, but it was affecting like less than 1% of the league. And we were upset about it because we as media consuming it, it just felt inequitable that he was a judge, jury, and executioner. But it was
the whole process is what we criticized.
Yeah, but it was less than 1% that you're talking about. Like literally 10 guys that we're talking about.
And maybe the fans weren't that revved up.
Of course not.
Not like this.
Of course not.
That's what's amazing. It's baseball.
Exactly.
To be this revved up.
I think, Commissioner Goodell at the end of the day was doing a good job. Like he was making billions of dollars for the league.
He was
like
the
popularity was growing through some really tough times, actually. And so, like, in actuality, Commissioner Goodell was doing a good job. Perceptually, there may have been some hate. Commissioner Manfred is having perceptual mountains of hate, and he's also not doing a good job. That's the difference, right? You can't compare this to the perception versus the reality of what you're doing. In this specific instance, Commissioner Manfred did not and is not doing a good job.
I agree.
Period.
And Les Cola Rasheen from Virginia, he says a Yankees fan. Listen, I'm so far past that. Like, I know Dodger fans, and rightfully so. I mean, and you want to think about it on this level. Like, Clayton Kershaw, to me, if there's anybody that has, like, the biggest gripe, I don't know if anybody's career has been as altered, like, perceptually altered, like his career has been altered. He went from being Sandy Koufax to a guy who cracked when the moment got too hot. I wonder why he cracked half the time. I really wonder why. You know, and this is, first of all, I wouldn't even want the trophy. You could keep the trophy.
Yeah, it's not about that.
Not about that. The Yankees don't even enter my mind on honest. If you don't believe me, I don't know what to tell you. I swear to God. Like, I don't even think about the Yankees. I think about baseball in totality, the greater good. I don't think about the Yankees. Dodger fans, you should think about your Dodgers. I get that. Maybe the diehard Yankee fans who don't do radio and don't talk about this the way that we do, that's fine. But for me, the Yankees aren't even secondary. They're third or fourth right now. This is so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
It really is. He's been horrendous. He's been horrendous. Ack, you're a baseball fan.
Yes.
Should he resign?
No.
Why?
You know, I just think it's too... It doesn't look good now. But look, their best interest, they tried to clean this up. And it became a PR nightmare
since.
They
tried to sweep it under the rug. Clean it up? Mm. You mean like sweep it under the rug is what they tried to do.
Get out the old dustbuster, right?
I'm telling you.
Suck it up.
Did not do anything to clean up cheating.
No, because nobody got punished. Where's the deterrent for the future?
I think in hindsight, he might have made a different deal had he known this was going to be it, you know, with the Astros.
Okay.
Saying, look, you better come clean or that's it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I don't know. The problem that he has in trying to be fair.
Act, the players hate him.
Yeah.
They despise him. They don't trust him.
I don't disagree, but I think.
How could he go on?
The problem that he has is the Players Association. At some point, you know, all these leagues, I understand what,
yeah, but
what their role
but Tony
is.
Clark just refuted the fact that they had immunity. And let's face it, if you were – this is an extraordinary circumstance, right?
Yes.
We can all agree.
Yes.
It's an extraordinary circumstance.
Yep.
Okay, the Players Association is going to fight you, but make them fight you. Right,
you could say that.
I just tell him
at least you'll get some equity within the fan base.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, listen, he tried. There's limitations. There's only so much you can circumvent, but he tried.
That's right.
Even if it was just a symbolic attempt to thwart the negative criticism, that you got to think like that sometimes. You like, man, they are not thinking a step or two. They are just thinking, how do I salvage this particular press conference? Not what will emanate from it. Mm-hmm. What will be the next bomb or the next thing that's dropped at my doorstep? I don't understand. How in the year 2020, it's not like he's 80 years old and he's never, like, he has no aspect of, like, feel for the digital world or how things manifest itself on social media. He's not an old guy. You gotta be savvier than that. I mean, on the scale of 1 to 10, his savviness is negative 97. That's where he's at right now. Really, it's true. It's really true. And it's sad because I really thought he would be a good commissioner. But he's bombed. It's bombed. All right, let's get the update from Mac. We'll get back. We'll talk to John Crispin, not his brother Joe, although maybe Joe was next to him. I don't know. John Crispin, an analyst, talk a little college hoops and how unique this season's been. All the possible Cinderella stories. We'll talk about that next, but Ax update is right now. Here he is. All right, this weekend, it's two full days of college hoops, which is good by everybody. It's on CBS. Saturday, triple header starts at noon Eastern with Tennessee. The Vols at 11th-rated Auburn. Then a Sunday afternoon doubleheader. Little Big East action between St. John's and number 16 Seton Hall. Pirates need a win tonight. They're going in the wrong direction playing Butler. Both teams are pretty interesting. But Seton Hall was top 10. They got to get a win here. So followed by 9th-ranked Maryland meeting Ohio State. The Buckeyes, it's the March to the Tournament, and it's on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Our next guest, we've had him in studio a few times. He's terrific. See him on ESPN, Westwood One. You'll hear him tonight doing the Louisville-Syracuse game and played college hoops, obviously, SiriusXM, College Hoop Station as well. John Crispin. John, what's happening, buddy? How you been, man? It's been a little bit. You good?
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm starting to think that the restraining order was finally lifted. It brought me back in. The real question is, I've seen your show, and I'm wondering if there's an accompanying picture with me being on. Is there a picture that's being used to say, like, who I am? Because I hope it's a good one, man.
Yes.
Let's see.
Well, you know, we're going to do something about the wall.
That didn't sound good. No,
I got a question for you, John. Are we going to address that nice receding hairline or what? We're going to start buzzing that thing or what?
Yeah, I got a hitter's ballpark, man.
You know us.
Okay, you got to work with what you got.
Yeah, you know Understood. Us. We didn't work with what we got. We just cut it all off. We're two bald guys here.
That's right.
Look, you got the ACC tonight, Louisville and Syracuse, and we'll start there because Louisville – it's been interesting. I mean, they started the season 21-3, I believe they were, and then last week they two bad losses: Georgia Tech and then Clemson. They also lost to. Where is Louisville right now? I know that the program is surprisingly good last year. It's obviously accelerating this year. Where are they at? And is this something to be concerned about?
Well, I think the concern's been there all year because the concern has been toughness. And they've got talent. They've got Final Four level talent. That's been the case all season. Jordan Moore is probably the toughest matchup in the country. But when your best player's not really your emotional and vocal leader, you're going to have problems throughout the course of the year. And that's been the case. Louisville's got a ton of nice kids, you know, but every now and then you need some dogs.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what's missing. I mean, these guys have played for three different coaches. When you think of the class, the upperclassmen, they played for three different coaches. So it's understandable that, you know, there's just not the consistency that you would expect to see from an experienced group. And I think that's been the biggest issue. They haven't really established who their leadership really is. And again, your best player on the floor, Jordan Moore, might be the nicest dude in the locker room, which sounds great, but at times could be a problem.
Yeah, now Chris Mack's got to start, like, whipping him into shape and making him become a little bit of a, as you said, a dog. Is the class of the ACC, is it Duke again? I know they got more depth than they usually do. They're not names that we know like last year with R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson, but is Duke the team that we suspect will ultimately rise to the top there?
Likely. And I think part of it is just the understanding of who they are in the ACC, understanding who Duke is as a program. That gives you confidence down the stretch because it's a team that hasn't been entirely consistent. You know, Vernon Carey is one of the best bigs in the country.
Yep.
Trey Jones is one of the best leaders in the country. But, again, like Louisville, don't have that edge that I think we've seen before. Like, Zion Williamson smiled a lot last year, but he had an edge to him when he played.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean, like, you don't have to be a bad dude, but you have to bring something that takes the pride from your opponent. And I just don't see that. Quite frankly, I don't know if I see that on anybody in college basketball this year. That's why we talk so much about the parity. You know, everybody's pretty good, but no one's really that good. And I think Duke is case in point.
Mm. So we're talking to John Crispin, who played at Penn State with his brother Joe, and UCLA as well. He's all over the circuit, ESPN, a little Westwood One. Good.
You know, BT and I have had this conversation. I just want to jump back to what you just said, that the parity, is that a problem or is that a good thing for the NCAA? Because we had a conversation yesterday. The big names from the upcoming NBA draft are likely not going to be playing. Not
probably
likely.
Seven or eight
They're
of them.
Not going to be playing in the NCAA tournament. Is that good or are we okay with the stories of like the Baylors and the Daytons, et cetera?
No, I don't think it's very good. It's bad for the perception of college basketball. I mean, look, college basketball, and it's funny how sensitive college basketball guys are. They get mad when you say that the college basketball season starts when football ends. They get, like, upset about that. But that's just the truth, man. People want something to get excited about. If they're going to tune in before February, then you better have something like an R.J. Barrett, a Zion Williamson. Or, you know, earlier this year it was James Wiseman for a hot minute, but, you know, he took some money to relocate, and he was not going to be playing college basketball.
Yeah, but that was like years ago. I mean, come on.
I know, but I'm saying there's been no –
Why you got to bring up old stuff? Why you got to bring up old stuff, John?
That's what I'm good for. But, look, that's the problem, man. We need that in today's world, right? Yeah. We need the kids that have multi-million, you know, followers on Instagram and Twitter who love to just watch their highlights, because those people will tune in to watch them play. And right now it seems as if people are tuning in and going, well, who's going to win? Who's really good? And the question is hard to answer. Like, I watch so much college basketball, I don't even know what to tell you. But still, I can say I have no idea who really is that good. Is San Diego State really that good? I don't know. I mean, they haven't really played anybody that tells me they're going to be great, but at the same time, when I watch them, they're a pretty good basketball team. That's pretty much college basketball in a nutshell. It's just, again, I'll say it again. Everybody's pretty good, but no one's that good. And I do think that's the problem, particularly in the world of sports that we have, which is I need excitement to stay tuned.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I think the fringe fan right now is bored. I think it'll be interesting, but I certainly get you on that. Snapshot of the nation here, even though you gave us a little bit of a glimpse of some of the interesting stories. ACC is down. Big East is good, but it's down. The Big Ten is good, but it's down. Is the Big 12 hands down the best conference? I mean, obviously, two teams are inside the top 10, and the other team was in the championship game a year ago in Texas Tech. So is that definitely the best conference right now?
No, it depends how you define best conference, right? I mean, is the best conference the deepest conference? Is the best conference the team that has the conference that has the best teams? You know, if you're looking at the conference that has the highest level teams, yes, it's the Big 12. I don't think there's any question there, but is that how you define strength of a conference? And would Kansas and would Baylor have the same success if they were in the Big Ten? There's no way to answer that question. People love to debate the things that you can't answer, and it's kind of nonsensical, and it's fun to watch, you know, people just go back and forth, and there's no real answer. I would say the Big Ten's the deepest conference. I would say the Big East is probably second. When you think about the strength of the Big East, there's no real easy night out. I'd say Big 12 might be third, and then you start looking down the list and you go, God, what happened to the ACC? You know, there's a conversation that the ACC should really only get three teams in because those are the teams that are actually competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I would agree it's a down year in college basketball because of how it's been previously, where we've had these high-level pros, and right now everybody's competitive. And we don't really like competitive. We want to see the best teams. We are way more elitist than anybody wants to admit. We like to see the best thrive, and we're not seeing that this year.
Yeah, you know, we only have about a minute here or so, John. Do you think that Villanova's Jay Wright could head to the NBA? We had this discussion a little bit earlier in our show on Inbounds and Out of Bounds, a segment we do. Do you think he might want to jump if the Sixers job comes open?
Look, he should talk to John Beilein first, and then he should talk to Rick Pitino, and then he should even talk to Nick Saban, right? Like, think about all the guys that have tried it. It's not coaching anymore. It's managing talent, managing egos. There's so much more to it. It's not about whether you're a good coach. And Jay Wright is a culture coach first and foremost. Can you really build culture like that in the NBA with the turnover that you're going to get? He's thrived on 3- and 4-year guys. So you don't really have a lot of 3- and 4-year guys in the NBA. So, I think he's a superstar, but do you really even want to do that? I just don't know if it's worth it. I say pride and ego say yes.
Yeah.
But rational and logical thought would tell you, heck no, stay at Villanova, spend the rest of your life there.
Yeah, they should build the statue already. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, listen, he's been great.
Absolutely.
He's the best. I mean, listen, Rolly was fun. I mean, with all due respect, Jay's been better. All right, we got to bounce. We've got your number. We won't make it as long.
Yeah, it was too long, man.
That's on Santa. Yeah. That's not our fault, man.
Exactly. I'll send you guys a headshot to use next time. Like,
please do. Really, I mean, you got to wear this pink tie. I don't know if you remember this one, but
hashtag one clip. Hashtag one clip, brother. Thank you, John.
Forget the one clip. Get the big. Get the big. Get the big.
See, brother. There it is. There he is. He's good. John Crispin's really good.
Yeah, he's great, man.
All right, coming up next. Just because he smiles a lot and he's soft-spoken doesn't mean Giannis isn't getting ready to deliver a monster power play flex. Oh, boy. I know it's kind of chilly in Milwaukee right now, but I'd still be sweating. Still be sweating a little bit.
Little family,
we'll get to that.
Little family
up.
Ties going up on up there, right?
Not with that.
Get my brothers. I'm not my brother's keeper, but you will be.
Third hour coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.